Frankly, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and this afternoon to address a question that a man have placed for us. He's in Spanish, but he's reading his Bible, and he came to a passage where he didn't know what Jesus did. And so, Father, we would like to address this question with the light of your word and be able to answer that question. So help us through the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to understand the depths and the profound question this man has made. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving, because we know that when we cry for wisdom, you are able to share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now the question for this afternoon is this. I just put question 12050. Hope it's a date. Easy to understand, so I can label. See, 12 question 120504 is the date. And so when somebody asks me, what about this question and the other, then we will be
able to see our internet website.
No, see in the website, I will say that number. All right, because that's the way it's going to be, the website.
I can, right? But that's not the way it is now.
Oh, okay. But you can put question number. You can type or not. Well, maybe people will know now they listen to the voice track. Is that right?
I'd have to look on the web exactly how it's set up, but there is dates. There is
this going into the...
Pardon me.
Excuse me. Is this going into the voice track just as we speak?
Yes.
Okay, then if you are listening to this and... you want a written form of these answers, ask for question 120504, which is today's date. Now, the question is, he asked me five questions, and one of them was a result of his reading in the book of Ephesians, you know, and we're going to turn there in a minute. But the question was this, did Jesus went to hell? Now, the man... is well educated. He went through two or three different books, commentaries, and he got three answers. And so he said, which one it must be? And I briefly answered to him already with Romans 4:3. What says the scripture? And I told him I want to use the questions here in class and so on. The passage in question, then the major passage, is Ephesians 4:7. And I'm going to put it for you over there on the board with a little bit of my translation on this. I believe verse 7 would say that Jesus, if you look in Ephesians 4:7 in the King James Bible, the Bible said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so the apostle is making in his statement saying that every believer has a gift. This is the way I understand that verse, as it reads in that way. For every believer, we have a gift, and that gift is not according to you, but according to the measure of Christ. You see that? That means that God's, is any other translation on this verse? Do you have the New King James, Mildred?
Yes.
Will you read me verse 7?
But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
Okay, according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, he measured for you and for me. And it's not that he gave some people more than other. It's that he gave each one what is needed for our life. And so each one has a gift. Now, verse 8 says, therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. The King James said captives. A host of captive. And he gave gift to humanity, to man. See that it says, but man is anthropos. So he gave gift to humanity. That is a big difference to say man or to say mankind or humanity. Because that means women too have a gift. He will say he gave a gift to man, would be the male people only. But no, he gave gift to humanity. So every woman, every man, has a gift. He said, now, when he says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. You see, that's the question. That's the word that triggered his mind. See, to the lower parts of the earth. See, it said over there. So then, the question obviously is, then he never went to hell, you know? He who descended is he also who ascended far above the heavens and so on. Now, I want to go back to my first analysis so that we go through. Now, the key thought in chapter 4, if you look at it, he was looking at Ephesians, and each time that I am analyzing a passage, I read the chapter, and if I can, I read a little bit before the chapter, and I ask myself this question: what does the chapter really say? What did God want to say in this chapter? That's the way I preach in on Second Chronicles in the morning. You know, it's what does this chapter really want to say? And so you get an overall picture, and then you narrow down to one. And so if you look at verse 16. You read it for me, chapter 4 of Ephesians, and verse 16. Read it for me, Mildred, on the version over there, on the New King James.
From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Now, you see what they said? It looks like he's saying, okay, we have all these pieces. What's his first name?
Stephanie.
We have Stephanie. We have Angelina. And we have Gabrielino. And we have all of these people in the body of Christ. And that verse said that all these people, God is giving a gift to each one of us. So we, like in a machine, we all have our little part, and then the machine works together. So I say the believer is to walk using the gift God has given him. That's what he's saying. And he makes a theological, remarkable theological statement on verse 7, he gave gift. Then on verse 8, he comes with this descended, this theology. We're going to see it in a minute. But the emphasis on the chapter is not so much on the theology that Jesus went down or up, but the emphasis is each one of us has a gift, and that gift needs to be placed in the body in such a way that doesn't disturb the other gift, so the each gift working together, finally a machine is a smooth machine and works beautifully. One of the things, for example, we were visited by a man in a bike. I forgot his name.
Doug.
For 3 Sundays. Then a brother, Dulilo, visited with him and said, you know, when you come here to our church, do you come to hear the word or to teach? He said, I come here to teach you. He said, well, no, we don't want you because we already have a teacher. We have Pastor Otero. We hire him as our teacher. So you better find another place. He mentioned that he left. About 9 churches were asked to leave. So we're not asking you to leave, but we're telling you, you don't going to teach here. We have a pastor, you should come and listen. And in otherwise, you look for another place or teach it in your own home. Whatever you leave, you go and teach it. And so he never came back because he doesn't feed the machine. And that's good. I feel good. Doesn't feed. Because if you get a piece in the machine that is broken or is doesn't feed, boy, the machine doesn't work. And that's how, remember, the church of Ephesus, and when we study Revelation, God says it's very good that they do not tolerate anybody who do not have the right doctrine. So the chapter is talking about feeding each other together. And now, because God gave us a gift. Now, when you buy a gift, the person who received the gift, Stephanie, if I give you this pen, do you bend? You pay for the pen? No, that's right, Stephanie. But Stephanie doesn't pay for the pen because it's a gift. But who paid for the pen if I give you a gift?
You did.
I did. All right. Now, if Christ gave us the gift, who paid for the gift?
Christ.
All right. Let's see the cost of the gift. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible so that you can Christ pay for the gift. And so the chapter emphasis is Christ has given us gift, let's be together. But I want to tell you something that's like a parenthesis. It's not a parenthesis in the original, but because the original language do not have parentheses. But it's like in a parenthesis saying, by the way, I want you to know, Christ paid for this. Let's see how much costs. Verse 8, all right? Now, let's look again on verse 8. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, He led a host of captives captive and he gave gift to humanity. Now it's very important, this section here. Therefore it is said when he ascended on high. Mildred, will you read me the New King James?
And what verse has
Verse 8.
Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men.
Okay, see, the only thing I added, because this word is not in the Bible host, this word here. I added that so it's more understood, no? You put this, he led a host of captives captive. In other words, those who were sinners, and they were already there, he left them over there, see? And he gave gifts to humanity. So let's see what that means. Jesus Christ has conquered our enemy when he went into the depths of hell. And our enemy, if you look in 1 Corinthians 15, I don't have that in my computer, but 1 Corinthians, Greg, you look 1 Corinthians 15, 26, and read it for us. That's our enemy, really.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
All right. Death is our enemy. So he went to conquer our enemy, sin and death, and has given us purpose to live. I said to live is to live. And let's read 1 Peter. I don't know if I have that. 1 Peter 3, 22. I have it right there on the screen. 1 Peter 3 and verse 22. Who has entered heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, ruling forces, and powers subject to him. In other words, Christ is not in hell. He went down. He descended. But when he descended, do not save those who were in hell. He left them over there because they were sinners. In other words, when the Mormon Church support that you pray for the dead, here's an example you don't. Because Christ went down into the bottom of hell, and he touched hell. He saw those who were sinners over there. He left them over there, and he took off right to the presence of God without any trouble or difficulty. So verse 8 really teaches that when he descended, remember the verse 8 said that he descended? If you look again in verse 8, it said, therefore it is said that when he ascended on high, he led host captives captive, and he gave gift to humanity. In other words, when Christ went up from hell, he did not save them, because they were, you need to be saved where? Not after death, before death. Even the saints of the Old Testament were not saved in that way. Now, verse 9. Now, when it says he ascended, what does it mean? But he also descended first to the lower part of the earth. And so, verse 9, Jesus Christ had to die and experience hell for humanity in order to gain the right to give humanity. In order for Christ to give you a gift, he need to earn that right, and he earned that right by going to hell in your place. See? Now, the Jews said Christ did not go to hell. Christ went to the sepulcher. Now, it is... see if I find this text here. Brother Tricker, if you look at in Matthew 12:40, see if when the Bible said, remember that Noah was 3 days in the
Jonah,
excuse me, 3 days. Is that Matthew 12:40, brother?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Will you read it, Greg, for me?
For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Okay, you know what word the heart of the earth is in Greek? It's the word abyss. A, B as Bob, Y, S, abyss. You know, and that's another expression of hell. And so here it is, as Noah spent 3 nights and 3 days in a whale belly, now Jesus is going to be in the abyss for 3 days and for three nights. So verse 9, I think, strongly teaches that Jesus Christ had to die, experience hell, and remember, one day for him is like 1,000 years because he's God. So I don't think he stayed 3 days over there. I think he touched and go, Because when he touched, that was the presence of God, eliminate, pay the price for sin, and then went up into heaven. And so verse 10, if we go to Ephesians verse 10, they said, he who descended is he who also ascended far above heavens to fill all things. And that match 1 Peter 3:22. And then I have another verse for you, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. In Hebrews 2, 14 clearly says, since all the children share the same human nature, he too share equally in it, so that by his death he could set aside him who led the power of death, namely the devil. And so Hebrews 2:14 really is strong. He's telling me that by the death of Christ, he has broken the devil and paid what the devil has done. And Brother Greg, will you read that? What version you have there in the computer?
Which version do you want?
You had the, the revised version?
The RSV?
The RSV, yeah.
Okay, Hebrews 2:14.
Yes.
Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil.
Look at the New American Standard. See the word sins over there? That's very important. On the fact of is the original. See the New American Standard pick up that word sins. Okay.
It just says sense.
Sense.
Then the children of since then, the children share in flesh and blood.
Oh, okay. All right. See, I took the literal translation and I put it in your vocabulary. I'm doing that in the whole Bible. It's a, and I'm making, I'm printing pages. Then finally I'm going to have my own Bible. But in a very clear English, they said, since all the children share the same nature, blood, you know, and so on, then he too shared equally in it. In other words, Jesus shared the nature, the human nature. So by his death, he could set aside him who led the power of death, namely the devil. Now, this is proven to me that Christ, as a human being, he was he shared my humanity for only one purpose, to die perfect so that my sins can be paid. So he went to hell, he paid for my sins. All right? Now, so did Jesus went to hell? My answer to these fellows is yes, yes, to pay for our sins. But he is not there anymore. And so now, Brother Blika, you have to read for me. I don't have it here. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. And I think this class will go to 4:30 is the class? Yeah, okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. So he went to hell. And why did he went to hell? Not to pay for him, but to pay for my sins. In other words, to pay the penalty of sin. And then we're going to read, Greg, you look on Romans 6, 23. But, go ahead, Brother Brick.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Okay, he rose again. So the Bible clearly specifies that the penalty of sin needs to be paid. Read Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So the Jehovah's Witness, they are talking the plane, they say, you see, the wages of sin is death. Then you die and everything is finished. But they don't understand that that death means hell. That's a second death. It's a revelation. Look at Revelation 20, verse, I think it's verse 14, or you said the second death?
It's four different places in Revelation.
Okay.
It says in Revelation 20:14.
Yes.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Yeah, in other words, this is the second death. And Jesus died for my second death. He did not die. If he will die, what are you thinking? He died for my first death. Would Stephanie die? Would I die? No.
Physically.
Impossible. If he died for my natural death, In other words, but that's not the penalty. The penalty is our soul. Mm-hmm. See, it's our spirit. And I was so thrilled to see that Christ went, I said, this question, which to me is very clear, Jesus went to hell, give me a real peace concerning that he went there, he paid for my sin, not for everybody, but he paid for the sins of the believers and went up, because those who were not believers, they stayed there. He led a host of captives. Those who believed not on this earth, they were in hell, they died, they were in hell, God doesn't care about them anymore. And then he took off. And then he go in the business of giving the gift in order to leave. Now, that there are three different options. What the Jewish option is that Jesus died and went to a tomb. And that's what it's talking. But it's not talking descending and ascending. Actually, it's ridiculous. Because if you're going to take literally to a tomb in Israel is no under, but it's above. See, is in a cave above. They don't have a cemetery underground. They have a cemetery above the ground. See, and ready for the resurrection. That was their motivation. So, Jesus went to hell. Obviously, the answer is yes, but it's the yes is subject to that 1 Corinthians 15. He went up. He's there no anymore because. He paid. He paid what? He paid for my sins with his own death. What kind of payoff is this? Well, it's a payoff beyond our nature. In other words, then the question would be, why do we die? Have you ever asked you this? Why do we die then? Why do we have to die? Well, the Jew knew that. Psalm 23 say that, right? Psalm 23 said that he would be with us. Through death, and so therefore, God never, in salvation, God never tried to remove death. Now, ask yourself why. What do we have? I preached this morning that we have a heart of a stone and a fleshly heart and a spiritual heart. Why did God will not remove death from us? If you look, I was thinking, it would be not fantastic if we don't have to die. He died for me, and physically, I don't have to die anymore. But if you look, it's a Revelation 21, where they say it's a new heaven, or 22. I think it's 21. Will you read me, please, about verses 1 and 2, I think it is. 21, Revelation 21.
Okay. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Thank you. See, I think it's verse 1, say, I saw the new heaven. Mm-hmm. Is it verse 1?
Yes. Yeah.
Verse 1. Now, I saw the new heaven. Now, many people say, well, is God going to repair this earth? No way.
It'll be a new creation.
A new creation. Is it first or second Peter 3? Let's look at 2 Peter 3:10, where they said that this one will pass away, I think. Do you got it, Brother Mitch? Go ahead, go ahead.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Thank you. So it means it's no repair.
Yeah.
So I said, if God will save my body, and then Christ died, and the salvation was only limited to my physical body. Where am I going to be? God's going to, take this earth away. In other words, God is not a business of repair. And a lot of scripture makes sense because I said, well, I have to check this against other scriptures. For example, Romans 12, where they said, I think it's in verse 2, said, will you read me, Mildred, Romans 12 and verse 2? The counsel of God in that particular verse is remarkable because it's not talking about reformation, but transformation. Go ahead.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
See, God is not in the business, and this has nothing to do with the reformation had to do in the sense of being reformed, some changes. That's what psychology wants to make in you, some changes. God is in business of transforming you entirely and making a new person. And is it 1 Corinthians 5:17 or 2 Corinthians 5:17? So you're a new creature. What happened to me? Well, I said, somebody help me. Okay, Brother Greg, you got the computer there going? 2 Corinthians 5:17, will you read it for me?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
See, that's the ascended. Many times I question that. It's a new creature. Wait a minute. I have an old heart and a new heart. But a new creature in the sense that that's the only thing that will go into eternity. The new creature and not the old creature. So, did Jesus went to hell? Obviously, to me, it's necessary for him to go to hell. So that my sentence that our brother read from Romans 6:23, my sentence that the payoff of sin is death, is paid. See? Now, why not everybody going to heaven? Because they don't believe. All right? Remember, is it Hebrews 3 and verse 19? Will you go over there? Hebrews 3 and verse 19. Now I'm teaching the class, all the verses come to me. I should see how bad when I study. I'm a very bad boy. I'm an old fella. I don't know anything. Go ahead, Angelina, read it for me. 3:19.
So we see that they cannot enter in because of belief.
Yeah, because of unbelief, see. They cannot enter because of unbelief. And so it is true that God give you grace to believe. It is good that God even caused you to believe. But you're going to be judged if you don't believe. Period. Don't worry about what God is doing. I tell people, do you believe or not? And I visit with this great Anthony Mozzoconi. I say, Antonito, che passato? Che le corazzone? You know, he said, there is no God. He said, I said, you know, I'd be scared to say that. He said, no, there is no God. So, but that's your depression. There is no God. If Israel do not spend the walk in the desert because of unbelief, we will not spend a life in heaven because of unbelief. And the worst part is that there is no change. Even if Christ visit hell, there is no change. Those who die in sin, I thought, boy, this gave me a stronger desire to preach, because there is no way that somebody in hell can move on. I was trying to look in the Catholic Catechism, in the new one, to find out about purgatory. But they found a verse in some of the apocryphal thing that give them a right to say that we can be repaired, see?
Pray for the dead.
They pray for the dead and so on. And I said, well, here's another fallacy. If we add to the Bible, then we are lost. See? Because when you talk to somebody, be sure you are on the same document. Because if you don't hold the same document, it's like if I bring the Constitution of Argentina here, you have the American Constitution, we're trying to find a way, we're never going to do it.
Tell that to our judges. They want to bring the Constitution, the European Constitution.
Yeah. There is
the Supreme Court, yeah.
Yeah,
God pronounced a curse on the earth. And so actually the earth has been cursed, and we, as descendants of Adam, have also been cursed. Am I on the right track?
Yes. Let me see. You find in Galatians, I think it's 2:13 or 5:13, they said that we have been from the curse. We have been. Yeah, that's true.
And you can't, as I understand it, you can't fix that.
Yeah,
it's already done.
That's in Genesis 3. That's correct.
Okay. And then, so that all has to be destroyed.
The earth. Yeah.
And by fire,
look at Romans 8:22.
Romans 8:22.
Yeah. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now."
Yeah.
So we have creation groaning and dropping and being in midst of turmoil.
Let me see a curse. Americanos, let me see. Dot curse.
101 verses.
Don't want to move. Okay, are we? Galatians, it speaks clearly about the curse. Let me see if I get it from here. I'm just loading my program here.
Galatians 3:10.
3:10. Will you read it for us?
For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You see, Galatians 3:10 is the first time it's mentioned. 3:13 says, Christ, this is what I'm looking for. 3:13. You see it right on the top of the screen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. See, right there in the King James I'm reading. Christ is redeemed from the curse of the law, being let me move this here. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse be. Okay, this is a verse that should close the answer for my question. In other words, Christ went to hell because he took the curse upon him. All right, so therefore, we're going to be a new heavenly body. That's what Paul talks in 1 Corinthians, a heavenly body. But the earth has to be redone because let's go to, I think it's in Genesis where God cursed, let me see, I had a listing of all these cursing things here. Let me see if I have a Genesis here, 3 something. Good. Caramba, Gabriel, give it a look there.
3:14,
that could be.
3:17.
Okay, say
3:17.
Let's read it for us.
Genesis 3:17.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Yeah, that's the ground there. Curse is the ground. The ground is the where God placed him. Remember, God said he placed him on this earth. So therefore, curses, and it's like Brother Bricker said, there's something that cannot be fixed. It's like our sin. Remember Romans 5:12? Look at it. I put it in Romans 5 in verse 12. And you look in here, and they say, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, we all have sinned, and so we have been touched, damaged, and there is no way that we can survive that. Even Hitler, with his specialist, that he wanted to design a man pure, he cannot get it, because we have the seed of sin and so on. And so when the question came up, did Christ went to hell? Yeah, not for penalty. He went to hell not for his own penalty, but for our penalty. And so all the curses, all the penalties, and everything possible that can be accused is removed.
Mm-hmm. And when Christ said it is finished on the cross before he gave the ghost, it was he still went to hell afterwards anyway.
Yeah, but remember, when he speak, God speak.
Yeah,
and when he said he's finished, all the events from life are there. Mm-hmm. See? And so when he said it is finished, it doesn't mean that the cross finished, but it is finished mean the penalty of sin is accomplished, is done. And later on, he says, when he gave up the spirit, they went into hell and went up into heaven, and so on. So even though we read that he resurrected on the third day, I think Milton did that, he resurrected on the third day. So there is a satisfaction for me, and the satisfaction is that I can answer with gladness that he went to hell, because it's not as a penalty but he for him, but it's he went for me, right, for my penalty. And not only for me, for the whole world. It's not that the earth is groaning for salvation. The earth, let me see if I find that verse.
Those are Romans passage.
Yeah. Groaning, and if I get the right spelling. No, I know that I'm not the guy's. How do you spell that? G
R O A N star.
G R O.
8:22.
It's Romans 8:22.
8:22. Okay, yeah. Romans 8:22. Okay, Romans 8:22. And here it is. For the law of the spirit of life. Oops. No. Romans 8. 22. Okay, we got it now. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travail in pain together until now. And so, therefore, the New American Standard said, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. In other words, the creation is being affected, life is being affected, and even though the penalty of sin has been paid and accomplished, and until everything is made new, we will never enjoy life as was intended by God. And so death, when you see death under that condition, is not a bad thing, in other words, for us, because we don't want to be captive. We are released, remember, absent in the body, present with the Lord. So therefore, the fact that Christ descended earned him the authority to give gift to man so that you can live for him. By the way, doesn't say the Bible in Ephesians 4:7 that he gave gift to all humanity, but he gave to humanity. And so that's a very important verse, because if he will give gift to all, then we will have the gift of life given to people. So, all right, you can ask and add questions and put the more things on.
I was going to ask, when Jesus was on the cross and he gave up the spirit, and he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Now, before that, while he was still hanging on the cross, he was enduring the wrath of God at that point, was he not?
Yes.
Because he said, you know, why have you forsaken me, my God? Mm-hmm. And but that suffering and that wrath, I mean, he gave up the spirit to God. But then after that, he descended into hell.
I think that's the steps, yes.
And he was in hell still, enduring the wrath of God, apparently.
And I don't know, where was the scripture that he, you read it. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. What is it? On the third day, he ascended on the third day. Let me see if I find it. Third day. Let's see if I find it. They said that. Jesus, before, will you read it, brother?
And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures.
Okay, and see, Acts 27, verse 19, and the third day was cast out. No, that's not the scripture. So, 1 Corinthians 15:4 supports the idea that Jesus resurrected on the third day. All right, read it again.
We also have Acts 10:40. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures.
All right. And I want to check if the word the third is original third. You see on the bottom of there my screen, they tell you is the word a third, kritos. And if the word day is over there, now you will see it on the screen, it's over there on the bottom part of the screen, hemera, a regular day of 24 hours. So then, it's correct, the third day, according to the scripture. See, according to the scripture. You know what scripture is? It's Matthew 12 and verse 40, where Jesus says that as Jonah was placed in the belly for 3 days, so the Son of Man will rest up, was fulfilled the scripture. So the Spirit went over there and suffered the damnation of sin, and then on the third day he raised up.
Actually, in Jonah 2, it's very interesting in that analogy that Christ gives of Jonah being a sign of him, you know, that he would enjoy the well for 3 days. And Jonah prays out that as he was going to the bottom of the earth forever is one of his quotes. And so we know, Christ being God, you know, he may just touch hell for a little bit. I guess that delta function of infinity paid for our sins forever too, somehow. And it's an interesting prayer by Jonah in the second.
In the second chapter, in verse 9, almost at the end, he said, salvation belongs to God.
Yeah.
And so it demonstrated that he was powerless.
Yeah.
In the belly, he can do nothing except wait for the mercy of God, and salvation belongs to God. So to these fellow, we can say gladly, we can write a letter saying, yes, Christ did went to hell. Here are the scriptures. And the reason is because he paid for you and me the penalty, and for those who believe, the penalty of sin, which requires not just dying physically, but dying also in our being, in our soul, which Revelation called the second death. Is there any other verse? You said that you found another verse for second death?
Yeah, there's four of them.
Yeah, even though you explain it, I still don't quite get the, you know, it is finished statement that Christ made prior to, and then he still has to help tell you.
But he still had to go through all of that.
So it is finished meaning his work on earth, is what you're saying? Or what
well, the work that needs to be done.
Was he looking ahead knowing that he is going to make this payment?
Well, the work that needs to be done on this earth is completed.
Yeah.
And then, there is no more work to be done.
Yeah.
Because many times Christ has spoke as the job done, and he have not done the job yet. But he spoke as completed because he knew we were going to do it. Now, we can say one thing when it is finished. The work on this earth was done. Mm-hmm. It's finished. There is no other Christ to come. There is no other way of salvation. Like Peter said, there is no other name given to man. Because it's done. It's completed.
I guess that's true. I guess the sacrifice is made.
The sacrifice is made.
There afterwards, is, it's done. You know, it just...
There is no other sacrifice that I can bring. I cannot have a ceremonial sacrifice for sin. But everything that was in the Old Testament pointing to Christ is done.
So even though maybe you're going to hell for a little bit the next day or whatever that was, it's done. I mean, it's the sacrifice that Satan's been defeated at that point.
See, it's the same thing that when Christ said, when Ephesians said that we were saved before the foundation of the world. In other words, God sees us as a saved person before you were born. This is how God sees the beginning from the end, complete. He sees the beginning from the end. And so that's what Christ is for. Yeah. But we can use that finish saying, what else? We cannot have Buddha, we cannot have money, we cannot have church, we cannot have anything in this earth to provide. Because finish. What is the other verse, brother?
Okay, Revelation 2:11. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
Okay, so it is over and over mentioned that the value, the key spot for us is that second death that is need to be taken care of right here on this earth. Because cannot be taken care by prayer. Like the Mormons or like the Catholic Church said, just to help, I guess to help people, they do it with the best intention of their heart, but there is no scripture to real scripture to support that kind of thing, and I think that their support even is incidental and so on, you know. I called Father Colari and I said, can I have lunch with you and talk? And he said, you seem to have very biblical thought. He said, no, I will never talk to a Baptist pastor because he only used the scripture. He said, only thing I use are the confession of faith and their catechism. And if it's not there, we are not allowed to think otherwise. So well, I thought that you were a man of God, but now I can see you are blind. I said, "I'm very sorry." Yeah, but he's blind. All right. I thought that the way he instructed people, said, "You are dead and you're sinning." I think what happened is he's reading the scripture, and he's trying to mix.
Yeah.
When fitted, he's trying to mix the scripture into the picture, and that's in feet, you know, that's in going that way. Yes. Well, is any other thought you have on this? Is that clear to all of you? It's as simple as can be, but it's deep. Because when a Jehovah's Witness comes to you and says, well, it's okay if you die, if you don't believe you disappear, or you disappear on the first death, but not on the second death, the real you is not disappearing. It's right captive. God have a host of people captive, so that one day he will judge them.
So captivity,
in
the Greek refers to a host of captives.
It's a host. Captivity is captivity, but the other is a noun, and the other is a verb, and indicate the actions of. Uh-huh. He got those who were captive, and he kept those who were captive. It's a play in the words. In other words, he visited hell. He saw those people who were there. They are captive in one place, and he left them all. So even Christ was powerless to save those who are unsaved. Now, once you die, there is no more salvation in that sense. I will not say powerless, but I would say that Christ was, his intention was not to save the dead.
Another thought just occurred to me about what you said. Now, these people were in hell. So in the day of judgment, I mean, they are already in hell, is that it? But and then the day of judgment, when they are condemned, is hell different then?
Well, let's read it.
They cast in a lake of fire.
Let's read it in Revelation 20. From verse 12, let's read that and see how we can see how God brings these people. Revelation 20, and it started at verse 12. See, go ahead.
And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Look at the playing of words in verse 13. In verse 13, the first word dead, it were necros, those who were spiritually dead. That word is used in Ephesians 2:1, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, necros. You see it, right there at the bottom of the screen, in that section over there, N-E-K-R-O-S. Where the word negro come from, absolutely dead. That's used in Ephesians 2:1 for a spiritual death. But if you see which word in it, and death now is different. Is this word thanatos, which is the death of the body. Two different words. So God is saying, and the sea give up the dead, those who were spiritually dead, which were in it, and death, those who were physically dead, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. In other words, those who were physically dead and they are in hell, God brought back. So it's very clear God how he put that, and the word hate is used for hell, and the word dead necros again. The third time he used the word dead, he used the word necros over there. And so God is saying in Revelation, he said, and the sea gave up those who were spiritually dead, and those who were dead physically and were in hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And so whether you are spiritually dead in the sea, that you've been thrown in the sea, or being dead in the sepulcher, you are in hell. Your soul is in hell, and God's going to bring this up into heaven.
Those people that are in hell,
are cast in.
Now, when a person dies, let's say an unbeliever dies, when a believer dies, of course, his spirit goes to be with the Lord, right?
Yes.
But the unbeliever, when he dies, he goes to hell.
Well, let's look here. In Psalm 115, verse 17. When an unbeliever died, in Psalm 15, verse 17 said, the dead praise not the Lord. I'm going to move one line here a little up. One second. The dead praise not the Lord. In the word death, which is a penalty. In other words, really, those who were dead as unbelievers. You see, because the word use is muth, M-U-U-M-O-O-T-H, and muth means to die as a penalty. In other words, they were unbelievers. So the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that goes down into Zion. So I believe that with all my heart, that this verse teaches that really the word silence is a word means dumb, you know, place dumb. It's another word for hell. And so when an unbeliever die, you are correct. It goes directly into hell. Yeah. And it's silent. They have no right, no talk, nothing until the day of judgment.
And there's conscious existence.
Conscious there. Existence. You know. That he's there. Yeah. But and I think that's a torment. Mm-hmm. You know, the conscious existence, you are there, and now you have no escape.
Yeah.
See? And men. Brother, are you in Revelation 20? You can be Revelation 20. After verse 14, look at verse. Is that verse 14? 15 said that.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire?
Yeah, and what else follow?
And then it's chapter 21.
Before that, when they said the hell was cast. Verse 13 and 14.
Sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
Okay, that's it. So now we have a sequence. We say, all right, we die as an unbeliever. We go to a place, Psalm 115, verse 17, a place of silence. Which it doesn't mean I'm silent. Silent is it's no more opportunity for me to be active for salvation. And then I wake up, and I'm in the judgment day of Revelation 20. And then because I'm in hell, and I come from hell, hell with me goes into the lake of fire. See, in other words, again, the sequence is I die as an unbeliever, I go to a place of silence called the hell, I'm there, and then on the day of judgment, I appear in the court, and then I'm guilty, and so the place where I was and myself goes into the lake of fire forever.
In the lake of fire is also, there's conscious.
It's a conscious existence. Doesn't mean a consummation. No, that means that a continuous fire.
Yeah,
a continuous penalty. So it's so horrendous, the penalty, that when we look from that point of view, we have no enough words to say thank you to God that we know the Savior. At the same time, we see the measure, that's for me alone. Imagine to pay for the sin of the entire people that need to be saved. What must be? No wonder Jesus, when he was walking to the cross, he has blood. And people say, he suffered a lot, like this film that was made. He suffered physically. Like, certainly he suffered physically. But he knew what was coming up. It was coming up, the penalty of every believer, they're going to be a believer, his penalty will be on his shoulder. And that would be the thing.
It's so horrendous. That's, I think, why people get so upset with preachers that, you hear this complaint all the time. Oh, he's always talking about fire and brimstone and hell. And they don't want to hear anything because it's so terrible to even listen to.
And that's, a fallacy of Satan, so that you don't get the dimension that you have, you know. I was looking into a website that a lady this morning said, Pastor, I don't know if I want to be a member here because the Bible will change you. I said, well, that's the message today. He said, yeah. My daughter said, you keep on going to that church, you're going to be a changed person. So I don't know you're going to be a changed person. That had to be God for saying that. But I know one thing, the Bible will change you. And that's what my message was today. And so we don't keep that light, that glory of God. We shine it so the other people will see Christ. He said, well, I don't know if I want to do that. So well, you think about it and call me back. Because I don't know they're believers. See? I said, see, maybe you don't need to be a member of the church. Maybe you need to meet Christ. So, but my daughter is doing such a job. So I look on it, and there is a place in a house here in Morgan Hill where you can go for prayer and singing, and you pay a fee, and then you sing for you and so on and encourage you. That's where she comes from. No wonder. Here there is no pain and singing. Here is believing. And it's a mess. Boy, are we in a mess in this world, you know? And I said, Lord, oh, I'm really off the track completely. Like Raquel said, check yourself. Are you okay? because it looks like we are not okay. You know, it looks like we are lost in some place because we are preaching the Bible. What a time in history that we live today, you know. But thank God that we know, all right? Stephanie, you have to say anything? No? All right. Is any contradiction, you tell me. For $10, we fix it. All right. Well, for the people who listen to this, may God bless you, and may you get a real dimension of what hell and salvation really is. Brother Greg, you close in prayer.
Father, we come before you, acknowledging you as our Father and as our God. We know, Lord, that it is you who has saved us, and you have paid the price, and you have gifted us to give others the knowledge of you. And we pray, Lord, that you be with us and help us to walk in your presence, to love you and to cherish you, and to be used of you in a mighty and powerful way. We thank you, Lord, for the word to remind us that the penalties for our sin has already been paid. And all we have to do is praise you, believe in you, and you, Lord, have done the rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.